Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
day two of stealing the show from Jim and Patrick. This episode, people with voices just as terrible as Billy and Will's.
Oh my god. Let's hit it.
Hello there, and welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Billy Culpa, filling in for Jim Lenahan this week with Will Piper. Hello, Will.
I guess I'm filling in for Patrick.
I guess, yeah.
I guess we're kind of filling in for both, but
yeah,
you know.
You understand. This week's episode is singers who are sort of terrible, but kind of awesome still.
Sometimes, but Billy, sometimes the terribleness. In fact, I would say every time the terribleness is what makes them awesome.
I have a specific band for this one, but if you would like to start, I don't mind.
Why don't you start?
I have a band from Oklahoma City. They're called Red City Radio.
Red City Radio.
I only found them. I have no story. This is not an interesting way of finding them. They were on Spotify.
Uh-huh.
I have a friend who I trust he listens to, and I just saw for about a week. He just never stopped listening to anything else. I clicked on it and was like blown away by this guy's sound. So let's open this up. This is Red City Radio, Joy Comes with the Morning.
I was dead asleep. I was dreaming of Barcelona. Now the promises I'd keep, if I heard one that I wanted to hold on to. And I dream of you. You took the floor right underneath me, and I never knew how to say that I want you in the worst way, worst way.
Pretty good, huh?
That's pretty gruff, Billy. You know, yesterday you played some songs and you were saying they were gruff, and I was thinking, like, they're not that gruff. That guy is pretty gruff.
You guys should. I wish like everybody could see in your face off air. You were like, what
was gruff? I was like, and you kept saying, like, wait till you hear the harmonies. I'm like, still pretty gruff.
Oh, the harmonies, like, they swell. Like, when
this
I hear
is
it
not
sometimes.
Like, you know, Ella Fitzgerald singing or something.
No. I think that guy's great, and I think it's not common. I think he's an uncommon singer.
Here's my one thing. I certainly didn't mind it because I like my music with rough edges. I don't know if I could take a whole album of that guy singing like that.
That one is from, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. They have a newer album.
He said some sort of throat surgery.
No. But their production is, every step has gotten better. At that band, I don't think they're ever going to someday break.
No, probably not.
But they're good.
Which is
and
fine.
I enjoy them.
I think the crux of I think what you and I like about music is I know the bands don't feel this way. I'd rather have my bands be true to themselves and never break than have them become, you know, Coldplay tomorrow.
And I don't know. I'm always conflicted about that, right? Like, I remember I watched this documentary. Spotify had a documentary on Green Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of like the early years, I think, is what it was called. It's like 40 minutes. I watched it on one of my monitors that people couldn't see while I was doing real work.
Yes, nice. I hope Billy's coworkers are listening to this podcast.
And there's a quote in there from Fat Mike of NoFX.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you know them at all.
I know NoFX.
But he says he was at a bar or a show or a party or something with Billy Joe from Green Day. And Billy Joe goes, we're going to do arena rock. We're going to sell out stadiums. And Fat Mike kind of laughed and was like, you're not.
They did it.
You can't just make that decision. And he goes, no. That's what we're going to do.
They did it.
And then they recorded American Idiot and just pow. Yeah. Just
But they broke big with Dookie.
Yeah,
though,
for sure. And they played Woodstock and everything else, yeah. Right? But
those Woodstocks.
I know.
I like Green Day, but oh, those Woodstocks. But that was like the worst thing of the 90s.
The idea that they just decided they were going to break shows your talent. I don't know if everybody
And also
that.
They were, I mean, you know, a lot of bands probably say that. Theirs came true.
Yeah, well, I think there's a certain amount of like, they just know that the hoops they got to jump through and the thing. I mean, when did American Idiot come out? Like 2003 or 4?
I can't remember.
By that point, that band's already been, they've been 20 years of doing
it.
You know, they know the game, you know?
Yeah. I don't think anyone would have predicted like they have a Tony Award winning musical or whatever they had. That seemed to go beyond the game.
NoFX made a counter musical.
Oh, did they?
It's called, oh, I don't want to mess the name of this one up, but it's like Life on the Home. It's Home Street Home. And it's about like a group of homeless, you know, degenerates.
But like kind of a spoof of American Idiot?
Kind of, except it's way grosser. It gets graphic and gross.
No effects. I mean, I like some of the stuff, but yeah, they're not a, you know.
They're not a clean band. That I don't think that fits the PG-13 aesthetic we're going for here. So can you top that for gruff vocals?
I don't know if I can. I'm going to go with a band. I think the name itself is a little gruffer. It's the Dead Boys, which were one of the pioneering punk rock bands from the Ramones era. In fact, they got their start at CBGB, where the Ramones did in New York. They originally came out of Cleveland. They split up when a legendary band, Rocket from the Tombs, broke up into...
Wait, Rocket from the Crypt?
No, not Rocket from the Crypt. Rocket from the Tombs, which predates Rocket from the Crypt.
I don't need everybody's eye rolls. I hear you, and I don't need it.
And they split up into a band. Have you ever heard of the band Pere Ubu?
No.
Okay. Well, they were sort of an art punk band, maybe.
All right.
They split into them and the Dead Boys. The Dead Boys are definitely not an art punk band.
What's the song we're going to listen to?
The song we're going to listen to is, let's listen to Ain't Nothing to Do.
So here's where you lose me on the Dead Boys. I don't mind. Actually, I kind of relish gross vocals.
Yeah.
But I need melody and I need harmony.
Yeah, listen.
I don't just need snotty.
I'm going to tell you what I told a friend of mine who thought Paul Westerberg of the Replacements was too gruff. You know, it all can't sound like Nat King Cole, Billy.
I don't think. See, you misunderstand. I don't think the gruffness is my problem. It's the songwriting that is my problem.
Hey, let me quote you a line from this great song. This is that, by the way, that was Stiv Bators, the late Stiv Bators.
His name is Stiv.
Stiv. It was Steve, really, but they call him Stiv. The members of the band, let me give you their names. They were Cheetah Chrome, Johnny Blitz, Stiv Bators, Jimmy Zero, and Jeff Magnum. So not their Christian names. And Stiv Bators was from the town next to mine. He later was in John Waters' movie, Polyester. And he died in a car crash in Paris in 1980.
Oh, all right.
There you go.
That's too bad. Now I feel bad criticizing his lack of songwriting.
Don't give me that. Here's the lyric. He says, Stiv sings. This is like 1976, when you still had a lot of, in American music, a lot of singer-songwriters, a lot of, you know, hippie-inspired music.
Yeah, it's like one side is like the, we're at the tail end of the, like, sort of, what do you call that? Like the social movement, like sort of the end of the
60s.
Yeah,
you're still getting a lot of that.
But then you also have cocaine disco sort of.
You do. And punk was barely a force back then. Right. We all love it now, but let's face it. Nobody listened to it numbers-wise. Sure. Yeah. So he has a line in there. It says, the song Ain't Nothing to Do. He says, no, how can you not defend this? This is great songwriting. There ain't nothing to do. Gonna beat up the next hippie I see. Maybe I'll beating up you. Now, come on. What else do you want to hear? That brings tears to my eyes.
I need harmony. I need to sing along sometimes. Like
I can sing along to that. Especially when we see some no good hippie walking down
guys,
the street.
I wish you guys knew Will, because he. I got another band for you then. So I do feel bad. I don't mean to be totally disrespectful. I get how these bands matter.
Hey, if you don't like it, you don't like it.
Yeah, and you didn't
understand.
You gave a much softer professional review of Red City Radio while you laughed at it while it was actually playing. So I appreciate that from you. I have a band I want to play called Nothington.
Nothington. Is that all one word?
Yep, Nothington. Okay. And I don't know anything. This is cold. Let's just listen to it together.
Okay,
we'll get into it afterward.
I like that. I like doing it like that. No setup.
More!
think.
So what you're telling me is that some pop punk band with that fast drumming, a metal singer broke into the studio and just started singing into the mic. And by the way, he needed a lozenge.
That might be the case. I actually, so that's that band's called Nothington.
Nothington.
I don't know nothing about Nothington. They're another band I saw on Spotify, and I think bands like that, I don't know if they're ever going to get famous because of some mass media. They get famous by word of mouth.
Let's be honest. In all seriousness, these days, very few bands are going to get famous in mass media.
I don't need them to get famous. Let me even rescind that. I would like to see... I like Nothington. I don't know anything about them. I'd like them to be able to support themselves on tour. I'd like them to be able to just play music for a living. And
so you buy their albums is what you're telling me.
I Spotify their albums.
Oh, really? Well, that's good.
Actually, a sad note. So I believe that... There's no reason to have a physical copy of anything.
I know. Billy doesn't.
I see physical flaws in my strategy, and one of them happened the other day.
What happened?
All of my music, gone. You laugh, but there were MP3s of shows I played when I was 16.
The reason I laugh is because Billy always tells me that I'm an idiot for buying physical media.
Well, because you're excited that your Blu-ray showed up, but I'm like, I know. Who cares? You're like, but this thing was produced in 1971.
I like the packaging, and yeah.
I don't know. And then your basement floods and it's all gone.
Yeah, much.
I mean, we're all going to die and none of this matters anyway, right?
That's true. That should be the name of the podcast.
But Nothington, I'm looking at them now. They're Nothington.com. They have 4,200 followers on Twitter.
They had enough money to buy that website name.
Yeah, that's true. $9.99 on GoDaddy,
No, they're fine. Yeah. I mean, it's, again, not necessarily my cup of tea, but I can see the appeal.
The punchline to that physical media story is that my wife made me clean out my nightstand the other day. She's just like, there's too much stuff in there. Just clean it out.
How big is your nightstand?
It's two drawers. It's IKEA. Yeah. I don't know. It's, $99, the thing you buy, whatever. Yeah. And I open up the bottom drawer and there are two spindles. Of 100 discs each.
Oh.
I don't know what's on them. I haven't opened the spindles yet, but I know they're my music. So I have a chunk of my library will be returning to me. I'm hoping it's all the local bands. I'm hoping it's all... Because I can go re-download, Nothington or whoever.
And you'll pay for it when you re-download
it. I will. I will. I'm eager to...
You support the artist, right?
All right. What do you got for me? What's your next track here?
And people are going to think that I grew up in New York in the early 1970s because I keep playing bands from New York from the early 1970s. But this is, you said like you want somebody with like kind of an abrasive voice.
Yeah. I like that contrast of gross singer, but good band. And you sort of buy the whole package.
Well, this is kind of gross singer and gross band. But this is the New York Dolls. Very influential band. They predate the Ramones. They predate the Dead Boys, predate the Sex Pistols. They were sort of one of the first bands to kind of play with androgyny on stage in a really like obnoxious over the top way. I mean, these were ugly guys and they dressed up like ugly women on stage. I mean, but they never pretended to be women.
Sure.
If you know what I mean? It was all part of the glam.
Yeah. Yeah.
Glam with like a really rough, nasty New York edge.
Like a punk glam.
Yeah, but pre-punk. This is all.
Yeah, I understand. I get it. I understand the timeline. I don't need the education there.
If you remember the singer from the 80s, Buster Poindexter, do you remember he did that song Hot, Hot, Hot? Nope. Some people are going to remember this. This is him.
This audience will know it. I apologize, audience. I don't know.
This is him in his earlier incarnation, his real incarnation, David Johansen.
Okay.
So this is, and we will listen to the first song off their self-titled album. This is the New York Dolls with Personality Crisis.
I like that better, I think, than the last one. There's more, like, the obnoxious yelling at the beginning was much, but that's okay.
Well, that's, you know.
And I did really dig, there's more melody.
It's more of a theatrical. I mean, David Johansen, you know, he when he was this Buster Poindexter, you don't know about, but he would that was very much the persona of a nightclub singer. So it wasn't screaming punk by any means. It was more like a, you know, cabaret kind of thing.
Yeah, there's like some theatrics behind it.
Yeah. And these guys were like, you know, big wigs and falling all over stage. And
I'm not going to play it, but it reminds me of this band I used to listen to called American Steel on Fat Records. Sort of that big vocal, big.
Mm-hmm.
So New York Dolls, they're very famous. They get a lot of credit. I don't know much about, you know, obviously I was born in 83, so this is all pre.
Yeah. Well, I didn't find out about these guys until I want to say like 87 or 88. You know, this album came out in 1972 when I was 5 years old, I think. But a friend of mine in college introduced me to it, and I bought the LP, and I mean the long playing record, and I'm a big fan. It's one of my all time favorite albums. Album.
Oh. I was going to take a crack at it. Never mind.
Crack it. Do it, Billy. I can take it.
I think records are terrible and stupid. And yeah,
we've established that.
It's just a medium.
You know
that
who doesn't?
Introduces,
Jim and Patrick.
I know. No, I know. I don't belong here. I understand, like, by the end of this week, I will get just thumbs down, you know, emojis sent to me on Twitter. It's fine. I understand. I know my place. I got it. I have one more. Speaking of Fat Records, I have one more band for
you. Is that Fat, F-A-T, or P-H-A-T?
It's actually F-A-T, because it's a funny story. Fat Mike from NoFX, we mentioned him
earlier.
I was
wondering if Fat Mike was somehow involved.
He went to college, and he was like 140 pounds or whatever when he went to college, and he came back at 160, and he was perfectly a normal human. But everybody came back and was like, you got fat, and he became Fat Mike. And now he actually kind of is fat, but he's, you know, 50, so whatever, you know. I don't know if he cares so much. But this is a band called Bad Cop, Bad Cop.
Okay.
And I love them. It's the first female vocalist we've had here. I don't know much about them other than that. They've got a couple albums in the last few years, and they're very, very catchy. And the sort of that going for that snot-voiced, like sort of aggressive, but hearing it with a female voice is pretty cool. I like them a lot. I've been trying to...
You know, I got to say this, though. I haven't heard one note of them. I haven't seen what they look like. I think the name would be better if it was Bad Cop, Worse Cop.
Maybe. I like Bad Cop, Bad Cop is funny. I like it.
Bad Cop, Good Cop, Bad Cop, Worse Cop. See?
I understand.
That's where I'm going with this.
It's too literal.
Here's my take. I like the voice, and I like the snottiness of a female singer.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me, although she was sort of much more polished, I like classic Blondie.
Sure.
Debbie Harry had that, she sounded so snotty when she sang. Like, just you could smell the disdain coming off every lyric, and I like that. My only complaint is, the music behind her, it sounds like every other song in that genre that I've ever heard. That
I think you're focused on the drum beat. That's
no, but that's... That and the guitar, and it's like...
And to be fair, it's...
Okay, but it's like all fast, and
yeah.
It's... But,
yeah,
but I know.
I love that.
But yeah, you could take one song and listen to it over
that's
and over.
That's so dumb. That's like an inferior opinion in my book. You can't just not like a tempo and say, I'm out on that tempo.
I am out on that tempo. I'm out on the tempo.
To be fair, I gotta say too, Jim and Patrick, I apologize. I almost guarantee your audience is also out on that tempo. So
I mean, that's my only thing is it all sounds. I sound like I am a 50-year-old man, and I sound like a 50-year-old man. It all sounds the same to me.
Yeah, that's fine. You could say the same thing. It's just an era. It's an era specific thing. You could say anything about from 76 to 80. It all just has this sort of like low technology, lo-fi. Like there's the snottiness with like. Well, that's just a tempo. That's not that. I don't know why you're going.
But I think they all. But it all sounds like. That to me, I don't know. That's why yesterday I played the Ramones. I played that Danny Says song because it sounded so different.
Yeah. I do like My wheelhouse is definitely like a mid to up tempo. I don't like it when it gets too crazy. I have Bad Religion specifically reserved for that slot in my sort of my music wheelhouse is real up tempo, real fast, real aggressive.
Oh, it's going to be quick like that? Well, that'll be something different. Listen, I like AC/DC, and as we all know, they've recorded the same album like 15 times.
And they made the drummer of AC/DC just recently get busted for like trying to murder for hire somebody?
Yeah, they've had some issues. The lead singer Bon Scott choked on his own vomit, and then they replaced him. But anyway,
a little
but what I'm saying is, I feel like I'm, throwing stones when I complain about the same song. But anyway, just my take.
I'm excited by Bad Cop, Bad Cop because I've hit a point where, and this is actually a little side discussion where maybe you can. Well, let's not play some songs for a minute. How do you acquire new music?
And this is good. Patrick and Jim are going to tell me that I can't host. I very rarely do acquire new music.
That's sort of, I'm 15 years behind you, and that's happening to me. I'm not acquiring new music. And so when I go on Spotify and I see my friends have listened to something consistently, and by the way, when I say friends, these are a guy I once met in college who added me on Facebook 12 years ago, I go, okay, well, maybe I'll give it a chance. And when there's something that hits me and I go, damn, I really like that. That's real, like, it's in my lane, I'm in. And I try to go either buy, I'm not the kind of guy, I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. I'm not going out to see shows anymore.
No.
You know, honestly, like, it's 11 o'clock right now and I'm tired. Yeah. Like, it's the end of the day, man.
Here, here.
But I think it's important to stay current. And so I'm kind of, I do think there's nuance in that. I see your point when you say it all sounds the same. But then once you, if that becomes your main, like that just is your style, well, then you start to hear the differences.
I understand that.
And it becomes yours. So I accept your criticism and I'm just going to make you listen to more of it. So you'll start to appreciate the difference.
This is going
to
be a long week.
Is there anything else we need to hit before we wrap up this particular episode of Rockin' the Suburbs?
I don't think so, except that New York Dolls album. Just buy the New York Dolls self-titled album. You cannot go wrong with it, my friends.
We Googled the live to play these. We grabbed the live one first, and they seemed not happy to be on stage, in my opinion. They seemed a little...
No, they were just... It was rough. That was like from a TV show, I think. That was like on some midnight show, but they enjoyed doing it, so...
Closing business.
Yes. Let's do it.
I'm giving this to you. I bombed yesterday.
Oh, okay. Well, here's the thing, people. Rockin' the Suburbs. Listen to the show every day on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher. Come on. You guys know where to find a podcast.
Google Play?
You're living in the 21st century.
Do you suppose
century.
They allow SoundCloud?
SoundCloud, perhaps.
I gotta say, I think SoundCloud is one of those mediums that...
Does it even exist anymore?
It does, but we'll see.
Okay, so we got all those. You know where to listen to. You can email, not us, because we won't get it, but you can email Jim and Patrick at rock@suburbspod.com.
See, harder to say than you thought.
It is. It is a little harder. You can follow Rockin' the Suburbs on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at suburbspod.
Their website is suburbspod.com, too. You skipped a line, but I got you. I'm your backup.
Oh, there you go. Well, there you go.
There's a party line.
They know. Do people still go to websites?
I don't know.
Is there some kind of mental, like, you know, you tune in and with your mind now?
Team, I'm literally a web developer for my career.
That's right. Yeah, career is going to be over soon.
Call the Suburban Party Line and leave a message at 612-440-1984. There's a jingle. I don't have the jingle file.
I have it right here. Call us on 612-440-1984.
And if you're interested in telling me or Will, probably me, but, you know, share and share alike. That we stink. You can find me at Billy Culpa, at BILLYKULPA.
And you can find me at Will Pfeiffer, WILLPFEIFER.
Great. We'll see you. That concludes Tuesday's episode. We'll see you on Wednesday.
We'll be back on Wednesday. We're only just